Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. At least most days. Sometimes I teach from home because pandemic. Today, I'm talking about pandemics and talking about emails, which are the worst. So many thoughts to talk about today. But first things first, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, every Monday, new episodes drops. Feel free to check it out on your favorite podcasting app. Hooray! Or like and leave a comment so other people can find it too. That'd be great. Second things, if you want to talk to me further, I'm on the Twitter machine at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching, because I love teaching and I want to get better at it, and I love connecting with teachers who want to do the same. So let's do that. Thing the third, if you want more templates or resources from me, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up to teach, and I would love to share any of my resources. Feel free to take them, borrow them, use them, and steal them any way you like. Remix them, and let me know. Let's do make cool things that change the world. So that was that. I wrote a book, too, if you want that. That's called Adrenaline Rush, all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, if that sounds like your bag. But today, I want to talk about emails, which are definitely not my bag, baby, to quote Austin Powers. There was a meme, on the intranets this past week, and it says, how to email a teacher, and it has, like, five steps about how we can send emails or how, I guess, students should email a teacher. It's presented. It doesn't say who the audience is, but I'm just presuming it means to students, right? Like, I shouldn't have to tell my parents how to email a teacher, or I shouldn't have to tell my administrators or my community members how to email a teacher. I think we got it, right? I think it's when it says how to email a teacher, it feels like the intended you is the subject of that sentence, right? Like, hey you, kid, here's how to email a teacher. And it starts off with some pretty good ideas. It says, number one, subject line, 2 to 5 word summary of the email, you know, quote, like missing grade, or quote, homework question, or quote, late work, fine. Then it says number two, begin with a greeting. And it says here, good morning, Mrs. etc., or hello, or good afternoon. Then step three, it says, get to the point and add details. Quote, I am writing because, or I have already tried, dot, 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 or I remember the first step, but I can't remember, blah, 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 blah. Step four, make sure to include closing, thank you, or quote, I hope you're well, or quote, have a nice evening. And then thing the fifth, it says, make sure to include your name. So that was this handy-dandy graphic that was pushed up a week ago. And again, five steps. Subject line, start with the greeting, get to the point, and add details, close, and add your name. And in theory, in a pre-pandemic time, I kind of love this. It's an awesome way to, like, man, as an English teacher, which is my job before I get into the instructional coaching thing, I love writing. And I wish students practiced writing, good writing. Let me go on a little rant here for a second, because when you and I were in school, if you're my age or just a little older, maybe even just a little younger, there was no email to professors or teachers. It just didn't happen. The only way we communicated with our teachers was in school. And so any writing that we ever did was usually in school. There wasn't like you go home and play on the internet for hours. There was certainly not text messaging. At the tail end of my high school career, like, we got into, like, oh, there were chat forums on the internet, and then America Online Instant Messenger was a thing that, you know, teenagers started to doing when I was in high school. I realize I've super dated myself there, but here we are. So the only writing that students ever really did, you know, practicing a tone, they practiced formal tones. We wrote essays. That was it. And writing essays made sense because whenever would you need to write if it wasn't for formal tone, right? There was no emailing, there was no backing forthing, there was no text messaging, there was no, you know, up until, you know, AOL, there wasn't even the opportunity to talk to your friends in a written medium. I guess you could write letters. I'm still of the generation that when I went to college, I had two or three friends and we wrote letters back and forth. Like, hey, Katie, I haven't talked to you in a few weeks. I hope all's well. Here's what's going on at school. You know, like, letters to friends, to loved ones, to family members, postcards. It's a thing that happened. It's a lost art, and it's a beautiful art, certainly. But it is not an everyday art. People in Victorian England, way back in the day, you know, we have all these great letters that they used to write to one another, and it's like, oh, they were such a more advanced society than us. It's like, no, they didn't have any other way to communicate, and they had also no television and no radio and nothing to do. So they would write letters 3 and 4 and 5 times a day, and those letters were easy to be sent back and forth to the different houses in town because the postal services were not trying to make it through the countryside, right? They were just dropping letters off back and forth, like, on a route, so they would just hit up your street and then go three streets over and back and forth. So it would not be uncommon for someone to write and receive a letter in the same day, like text messaging. The purpose of it was never to be pretty with our language. The purpose of it was to be communicative, to connect with people. So to get back to it, somewhere in like the past 20 years, we've created the opportunity for informal communication in a written medium. And our kids got really, really good at it. Like, they text, you know, on average, the data that I had from, I want to say 10 years ago, the most reliable data I had said that the average high school male was sending 3,000 text messages a day. That was 10-year-old data. The average high school female was sending 3,000 text messages a month. The average high school female was sending upwards of 5,000 text messages a month. And I can only imagine in the past 10 years, those numbers have gone even higher. It makes sense, because they're not using text messages as a, good morning, I hope you are up, best wishes, and warmest regards. They're not doing that. It's not a Ken Burns documentary. It's not Victoria in England. It's, hey, hey, what's up, how are you? Here's funny GIF. Funny. I like that. Oh, man, here's funny. OMG. Group chat. You know, send it to 10 people. Send it to 5 people. Send it to 30 people. Reply. One line. Ha-ha. Thumbs up. Like, emojis. Back and forth we go. It's designed for faster communication. It's designed to help people feel connected. And for everybody who says, oh, we've raised a generation of screenagers. They're zombies who can't talk to one another. They have no social-emotional connections. I'm like, y'all, they are using those phones to talk to one another all of the time. And they're talking to their friends, and they're more connected to their friends on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute, second-to-second basis. Like, oh, yeah, that was on TikTok. You didn't see that? Or, oh, man, that was on Snapchat. That's like an hour old. You don't have that story yet? Like, constantly plugged in to the stories and the connections with their friends. And so what they've done brilliantly is created an entire new genre of writing, which is almost exclusively informal. And that creates a challenge because it's the paradigm shift from where we were as kids. If I ever had to write a letter to a teacher, it would have to be like an actual letter. Or at the very tail end of, you know, high school into college. Good morning, professor. My name is John Meehan. I am in your Tuesday, Wednesday, English 104 class, seminar of 500 people. I would like to discuss the grades related to this quarter's blah, 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 blah. Fine. And the only opportunities for writing when we were kids outside of school were formal ones, so we were raised on writing formal stuff. Today's kids, almost exclusively, the only opportunities for writing outside of class are informal ones. As we do fewer and fewer, like, five-paragraph essays, as we do fewer and fewer, like, formal emails, kids get really good at the muscles that they're practicing. And, like, softball and baseball use a lot of the same muscles. There are still unique differences to each of those conventions. And so the big pushback that this this app or this, I guess, this meme has kind of garnered online is people are like, oh, if only kids wrote like that. Yes, we need to kind of crack the whip on them and show them what's what. They don't know how to be, you know, respectful. And it's like, man, I'm going to push this gently. Here's the thing in a pandemic. It's a pandemic, right? I'm coming to school today. I'm not wearing a tie. I'm coming to school today. I'm teaching in sneaks. Why? Because I need to wash my clothes regularly, and I don't feel comfortable with things that are constraining my airflow. So as I drive into work, I've made concessions in a pandemic as an educator. Hey, look, it's a different year. It's not the year to get quibbly or get hung up over dumb stuff. And for me, dumb stuff is the type of shoe that the teacher is wearing or the type of tie that the teacher is wearing. Look, if they're here, I'm glad. And when they have to wear 3 and 4 and 5 things to cover their head or their neck or their throat to begin with, matching a tie to their mask should be the least of their concerns. If you come to my building and, I mean, I'm not the principal, so like maybe I'm just one voice here, but like if you come to a building and you're wearing sneakers, as long as you're in this building, I'm glad, because we have a lot of people who don't even feel comfortable doing that. And the fact that this is the thing that makes you feel like you're a little bit more safe and like, okay, you know what? If I'm not wearing fancy shoes, then I don't have to worry about like, how do I clean those fancy shoes, right? Suede shoes. How do I wash them? And I understand that risk of transmission is so, so low from touching things. But like, we deal with people who cough and sneeze all the time. We deal with, you know, we step in stuff. We, you know, there's just puddles. There's things outside. All that gunk, all that scuzz that just sits on your clothing as an educator, all day it sits on your clothing. If you're sitting in things that are feeling bacterial, you're like a walking Petri dish. Anything you can do to say, look, I bought a pair of Allbirds in 3 different colors, and I'm going to take them and throw them in a wash, and they're going to be good as new on Wednesday, and I can come back in, and I don't have to wash them every day, but if I can wash them once a week or once a month, I still will feel a little bit safer. If that's the thing that makes me feel more comfortable as a teacher, then darn it, let them do it. So, to this question of emails, it had 5 things, right? You know, the subject line, the greeting, the get to the point and details, the closing, and the name. I said, let's make it faster. Let's cross out 3 of those things. I need the subject line, and I need the details. That's it. I don't need a greeting. I don't need a closing, salutations, and I don't need even your name signed, because in your email, our school has an email address for every single student, and I can just look at the email and like, oh, that's Bobby, that's Janie, that's Susie. I don't need a greeting. Why? And I know that feels like, oh, but I'm an English teacher. I should be pushing them to be more formal. And I hope you can tell in my tone, like, I'm a pretty informal guy, right? Like, I should do better. I should push them to a higher standard. Fine. But here's my argument. It's a pandemic, and I'm getting, like, 90 emails an hour, literally 90 emails an hour or more. And that's not just from kids, that's from colleagues, that's from, you know, work, that's from admin, that's from meeting requests, that's from, like, you know, parents. If you have to spend even an extra 10 seconds for each email, then 10 seconds over the course of 90 emails means I have to spend another 900 seconds, which I've done some quick math in my head. That's like 10 to 15 minutes more checking emails. Literally just checking emails per hour over the course of a day. If I have 8 hours worth of 10 minutes apiece, I literally have to spend 2 extra hours checking emails because you had to put in those little fancy sentences. So selfishly, I don't need them. Also, and I know that I'm trying to be a good role model to my own students and to push them to be, you know, better. Here's the truth. Many of our students, and they've expressed to me privately, not related to this meme, but like even before, like, how is the pandemic going? They're like, it's really hard to ask questions to teachers because I feel awkward when I have to phrase my questions in an email. I feel like I'm taking up a lot of their time and I'm making a mountain out of a molehill where I'm like, good morning, Mr. Meehan. Thank you for today's class. I had a question about chapter 7. And I didn't realize all that anxiety that sits on them because they're also dealing with a pandemic. And if they have to ask for further explanation, that's my job as a teacher, right? Like, we're called teachers, not tellers. If we were called tellers, we could hand them a dictionary and say, read it. Now you got it. Like, if anybody failed in that, it's not the child, it's me. I should have explained it better. So why should I create another obstacle where they have to kind of humble themselves and feel bad about themselves? I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I know you did a great job today, but I have an imposition about, I didn't understand what was happening in chapter 4. You know what? Then they have to feel like they have to suck up to me and be extra nice to, like, beg for this little kindness and forgiveness from their teacher who, like, straight up, I shorted my duties. I didn't do a good enough job, at least for that kid on that day. And I'm not trying to be, like, all squishy and fun. Like, I failed. I need to do better. And that makes sense because it's a pandemic and kids are going through Lord knows what. And I'm going through Lord knows what. And if they need clarification, I think we should set up our email system or whatever our communication system as, hey, this is fast and efficient and there's no bad questions here. We understand the spirit in which it's intended. And again, it's easier for me because I teach older kids, so proceed with discretion and use it at your best advice. But, like, my high schoolers, man, I understand why they're emailing me. They don't have to suck up. They don't have to kiss my rear end. Like, I got it. Like, we're all in a panic mode. I'm so sorry to bother you. Can I just get a quick question clarified? Yep. Would it be nice if they could include that? 100%. But the truth is, I don't have time to read it, and it causes them extra stress to write it because then they feel like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't ask. No, it's fine. And I don't know what students are individually going through with this pandemic stuff, with the type of stressors that are already in their life. If I'm allowed to wear sneakers as a teacher, if I'm allowed to teach from home, if I'm allowed to teach without a tie, if I'm allowed to say, hey, you know what, those meetings, now that I can be emailed, say, you know what, those things that we graded, now it's just a pass-fail, you know, check for completion. We have the chance during this pandemic to change so many things. And if one of those things is this antiquated email system of, good morrow, I say good sir, like, use that to your friends. Use that for fancy stuff. Use that for formal stuff. Awesome. I need faster communication. Frankly, I would set up a Voxer or a Slack chat if that was easiest. And I would say, guys, just message me there. And, hey, Mr. Meehan, I have, like, 3 questions. In fact, if you have not used Voxer, it is amazing. Because for Voxer, the student can screenshot what they're working on, send it to you, and it's, hey, Mr. Meehan, here's a screenshot. Can you see paragraph 3? I circled it. I have no idea how to make that transition sentence. Versus, hi, Mr. Meehan, can you take a look at this attachment? I've included it. It's on page 7. Forget it, man. Like, quick, fast, metacognition. Go, 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 go. I want to be communicative to my kids. I do not want to create obstacles or barriers. I want them to feel safe and supported in my classroom every single day. And I totally understand and can appreciate teachers who are trying to do the right thing and the traditional thing and the good thing to help students be better writers. Yes. But I also never want my students to be afraid of writing. I don't want to make writing to be the obstacle that gets in the way of their self-expression. And if I can help them with self-expression, even if it's informally, then I can say, hey, Billy, you're really good at getting back and forth. Let's see if we can punch that up for next time going forward. After the pandemic. But right now, I want my kids to feel safe and know that I'm on their side. And if this is a concession I could make to make their life a little bit easier, sign me up. All right, that's it for today. I would love to hear from you. Feel free to tweet me at MeehanEDU. Stay safe, stay home, wear a mask, and I'll be back next week with more. Bye for now. Thanks.